You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
And welcome to Droppin' Spicy's Ready Room, episode 18, me, myself, and I, because Gio is the only one that matters. Isn't that right, Spry Fox?
Let's continue.
Yeah. I wanted to be like Kinder and host like Kinder, so that was why I said that. Yeah,
I see.
You know what I'm doing there? Little... hopefully he listens to this and, you know,
some realizes banter.
That's what he's like.
You got it.
I'm, you know, Kura and Exo's paying me to say this, so just say it. Yeah. Whatever. But, you know, whatever. But like I said, welcome to Ready Room. Ready Room is a Mash Those Buttons extended content podcast dedicated to a deeper look at the results from the Droppin' Spicy's community feedback through weekly polls and quizzes about Apex Legends and other community topics. You are joined today by Gio, that's me, and my boy Stuart Young, also known as Spry Fox. What's up, Spry?
That's me. Sorry, not as much hype as Gio.
Hype train? Can I get a hype train in the chat? Oh, wait, we're not live. Maybe we should be. No, I'm just, I don't know. But, yeah, hype train. If you listen to this podcast right now, go to the Discord, go on Twitter, post a hype train in our chats. Don't care which one it is. I mean, you could even go to like the Overwatch chat and say, this is a hype train from the Droppin' Spicy Ready Room listeners.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with it. I don't even care. Hype train.
Tag us and we'll support you.
We will on your hype train to nowhere. Right. We would like to welcome any first time listeners. If you would like to become a part of the Droppin' Spicy community, please join us at mash.gg/Discord, where you can meet the hosts and fellow Apex players. I'd like to credit Rifty Beats and welcome you if you're listening, Rifty. That'd be great. Why don't you come and join us on the podcast and tell us about your sick beats that we can find on YouTube and SoundCloud. So make sure you go check him out, where his beats will make your day better. They will soothe your soul. And in reality, not really soothe your soul. They're actually kind of upbeat, and you should probably work out to them. You know, take some pre-workout.
Yeah. Like someone is on.
I'm not naming names. I just drank coffee, a mixture of caramel K-cup with some milk, and oh my goodness, it was good. And I watched the CrossFit Open, which I'll talk about here in a minute, because, you know, I'm about to go through little hell on earth next couple of weeks, so we will talk about that. But we are recording at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, March 18th. Actually, it's March 11th, and for release on March 15th. Someday we're going to release March 15th on Monday. So yeah, you're listening to that right now. We are there. We actually have one topic for you today, and that is the March 5th poll, me, myself, and I, where, like we've said in the past, there are no longer going to be a public poll. It's all wrapped in one. Basically, we did the giveaway. We found out that it didn't really increase the membership in the Droppin' Spicy community. So instead of doing a public and a internal poll, which took a lot of crazy's time, right? We're going to consolidate them both and focus mainly on Apex content in these polls. So you will not see much of questions about specific to Droppin' Spicy, as we would like to respect our fellow podcasts and other discords that allow us to post there. We do not post Droppin' Spicy questions, but you will see those in the internal Discord on a separate poll. With that, we'd like to give a huge thank out to everybody. Thank you. Not thank out. I am on one tonight. Thank you to everyone who participates in these polls. All 29 of you matter, and your submissions matter, and we are learning from each one of you, and we hope to learn from more of you. So get out there and fill out those polls, boys and girls. Mm-hmm. And remember to check out the Droppin' Spicy announcements that we Droppin' Spicy announcements channel and the Droppin' Spicy Twitter. And make sure to check out there, because we announce our polls, tournaments, and any other event we may put on there. So go there, find it out. This week, right now, the new poll that is live, you are able to vote on mine and Spry's Battle of the Accents, where I won you know, hands down. It ain't like the little Discord vote that I put out there matters. Do any of you really matter? I mean, it was probably Max logging into like 15 different accounts and like spamming it. I'm just saying. Okay. So
rein it in there, Gio. Just rein it in. All right.
Rein it. Okay. I'm gonna rein it in. I'm gonna rein it in. You guys matter. I'm just a little salty. So yeah. Where the salt flows, the power grows.
My power grows.
My power is growing.
Yeah. So
it's turning into the Hulk.
Yeah. Right. I was just looking at the results and it's 4-14, Gio. Sorry. For the votes on that battle of the accents.
You dropped the mic on me like that, Spry Fox.
Hey, you, you're the one who, you know, you're asking for it a little bit there.
My attitude, Spry Fox, is just sometimes. Just gets a hold of me and I just can't control myself.
Yeah.
I have to maybe
no more coffee before the podcast, you know, just can't get you in there.
Let me just go and take a,
he's defying me.
Man, that's great. let's continue on my little pity party. Also we have a poll out right now where you can go and tell us about the Dropping Spicy main show and about the Ready Room show and about some other stuff and just give us your feedback. This is an anonymous poll. So you need to tell us everything you feel. If me and Sprout Fox are just not hitting that button the right way, tell us how to hit that button the right way so that we can make your ears hear beautiful noises as we deliver great Apex content, right? Mm-hmm. And be the same for Dropping Spicy, right? They need to know how you feel about both podcasts. Let us know how you feel. The poll will be in the description below the podcast title. So make sure you check that out. Lastly, in this little quick topics, we all need to say a prayer for poor old Gio. The 2021.1 CrossFit Open workout was just announced. I know this isn't Apex related, but I just want you to know what I'm going to go through. So we have 15 minutes to do one wall walk, which is basically where you're in a push-up position and you walk up the wall and handstand walk towards the wall, right? And into 10 double unders, which for me will be single jump ropes. Then you do 3 wall walks, 30 single jump ropes, 6 wall walks, 60 single jump ropes, 9 wall walks, 90 single jump ropes, 15 wall walks, 150 single jump ropes, and then 21 wall walks and 210 single jump ropes in a 15-minute period. The reality behind this is I'm only going to finish about half of those and it's going to be great, but just for fun, I encourage you all to go out there and try that. It's something that you can do at home. So, instead of doing the jump ropes, do jumping jacks, right? And if you can't do wall walks, then do bear crawls 5 feet for every wall walk. Go out and try it. Let me know how you do. Cause it's interesting. My CrossFit gym is actually having a girls versus boys. So, it's actually pretty cool. It's like 10 girls versus 10 guys. And I'm one of the guys. So like tomorrow night, I will be attempting this workout 4 number of reps. I think overall it's like 400 and something reps in 15 minutes. If you count it all.
Gee whiz.
So yeah, it's going to be hard. And this is just week one. We have 2 more weeks after this. Every week I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And then I'll follow it up with like how I did. I'll let you guys know. Cause I want you to know what's going on in my life. I think it's pretty cool. Going to the gym and letting you know. So with that, why don't we go ahead and have Spry Fox take us into topic one, craziest community survey, me, myself, and I.
All right. So in this survey, which was for March 5th, you're playing as Mirage solo queue in a duos match with no comms. But the other guy from what I remember was a TTV Octane. And, so take that as you will. So here's the scenario. After seeing a respawn in Capacitor, you and Octane pushed up to take the fight. There were 2 teams going at it as you arrived. Your squad wiped the surviving duo pair like a butter on a hot bagel. As you move to loot up in the building near the ramp, you hear a Bloodhound's battle scream. You do a quick shield swap and your teammate charges towards them. You see the blood on the high ground as they scan you in your building, but you don't know where the other enemy is.
You're carrying a flatline and a hemlock. You shield swap to full purple. Your health is full. There are plenty of shield cells and heals in your bag, but no grenades, and you've got both your tactical and ultimate ready. Time to boozle these foozles. What do you do?
Man, Crazy's getting creative with his writing, man. I see you're a fan, huh?
The hot bagel and battle scream. I remember reading this whenever I took the poll myself and was like, this is just ridiculous. But Spry Fox, what were our options and what did the community say we should do?
So our options were to hold, option one was to hold position and see if they push and try to shoot them from your building, and your teammate can figure it out since they pushed. That's one option. Another option is to throw your decoy into the battle and then hold position to trace shots and target them as they get bamboozled. Okay. So that's another option. Another one is to get on the roof of your building and pop your ult so you are able to see more of the area and can target freely. Mm-hmm. And then the last option is to full send and move on whoever the Octane is engaging. Then watch for the other enemy and pop a decoy as you move into the fight.
Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner.
That last one, that last one with a full send was what the majority voted for. But second place was pretty close between getting on the roof and then throwing the decoy to trace shots and kind of shoot them as they come.
Yeah, and I read this, and so I know Crazy. I play with him. Well, I recently haven't got to play with him a lot, but I kind of know him. And one of the best parts about this scenario right here is the fact he has no grenades. Because I think back in the day when me, Crazy, and Adam Bomb used to play all the time, one of the things we'd always say is we are always go to our grenade. We always do because we never really trust our shots. Whereas when you watch the video here, of course they did the whole, you know, they were over top of capacitor. They saw the fight going on. They ran down the hill, got to the other side of capacitor from the high ground. And then you saw on the screen decision time and you're thinking, all right, he has no grenade, knowing I just read the scenario. If you have no grenade, then you automatically have to count on your gun game. You can't, there's no other thing there to help you out. You have to count on your gun game. And in this scenario, I think that helped out Crazy a lot because it allowed him to be confident with his hemlock. Mm. And I think like what we both would agree on is in this moment, what Crazy did was he actually did do the, I think he did the full send on whoever moved, but the full send wasn't like Crazy full send-ish, right? It was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to pog shot sort of use my door because he was inside of a building. They were kind of up on the hill going towards Rig, and his teammate rushed up on the hill, automatically was below that team. They wiped him. And of course, Crazy stayed in the building down low and used the cover that he had in order to kill both the teammates or both the teams. So, I mean, overall, Crazy did a great job. Now, I actually voted for get on the roof because I like the idea of knowing that they're running into the valley towards me. If I get on the roof of that building, I might not be higher than them, but I'm kind of at a horizontal level with them. Mm-hmm. And I can always slide off or throw my bamboos off the roof. Or if I use my ult as Mirage on the roof, it made more sense because, you know, it's more to shoot at. You can kind of wiggle and wobble, whatever the words are I'm trying to get out of my mouth right now. But it gives you a way to shoot down. But I think what he did was perfect. I don't like the hold position because if they push, that gives them time to heal up. He wouldn't have downed one, so he would have had both of them coming at him. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know that the Bloodhound's battle screen just went off, so you know that the scan's coming faster than normal, so you know the scan's going to be there. And then just throwing your decoy and holding and doing some trace shots and targeting them with the bamboozle just didn't make any sense to me. So how did you feel about it?
Well, I think I voted for to throw your decoy in the battle and hold position to trace shots and target them as they get bamboozled. I think that's the one I voted for. I think the roof would be a good idea if if there were, I don't remember that building, if it has like a crate on top, like a box on top, because
I don't think
that
so.
that little incline that the roof has, that little tiny incline that has the windows so you can look inside, that's not enough cover to reliably use, especially because the other team, I think, was higher elevated. The important thing was when you see your octane, the octane was just going in. And that was, I mean, say what you will about it, I don't think it's that smart, because he's going, because octane is away from cover. He's out in the middle of nowhere. So he has no recourse if things go bad. But Crazy kind of used that. I don't know if he did it on purpose but he used that to his advantage, because the first guy that he starts nailing and he's doing a really good job getting a lot of damage, he was distracted. That guy's looking at Octane, and it was funny because the other teammate did the same thing to Crazy. So the enemy one was so busy looking at Octane that Crazy could hit him. But Crazy was so busy hitting teammate enemy one that enemy two could hit Crazy. So it was kind of a rock, paper, scissor thing going on for a second, and he had to go behind cover. But he did enough damage that he was able to turn the fight. And that teammate as well, the enemy number two that was kind of above, Crazy's timing was really perfect because he dropped down, and that really messed with his aiming, so he couldn't return fire as well as Crazy could put on him. So
yeah, I think the biggest thing I saw in that fight from Crazy was the confidence, because, you know, Crazy knew he could take one of them down because he could focus them and they weren't focusing him. But then, I mean, anybody else that would have shot the other guy and saw the full purples on him whenever Crazy didn't have any shields at all at that moment, well, actually like half health too, would have probably gave up. But Crazy had enough confidence in his shots with his hemlock that he ended up wiping the guy and taking him out. So, like, you know, if anything I could learn from this alone is to not lose confidence in my ability to close out fights, even whenever the odds are against me. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, Crazy in this moment showed me that, you know, sometimes it's okay to go, you know, gun crazy with it, because, you know, if you trust yourself and you hit the shots, then there's nothing that the other guy can do to win the fight, because you're just that good. So yeah. Overall, this is great.
And this is not only, I kind of wonder if playing as Mirage kind of got him into this mindset, because the whole thing with Mirage is you're trying to get yourself into a situation. If you've ever gotten a situation where your teammate, like that, just what happened, where your teammate's engaging the enemy and the enemy's so focused on him, you have like free shots on your enemy. That is all what Mirage is all about. But the thing is he's creating that opportunity for himself. So instead of having your teammate, your Mirage is like your teammate to say, oh, if you go over here and distract him, but your timing has to be good, because if they take one shot on it and see it's fake, your window's closed. And so your timing has to be good. And I think maybe Crazy, having played Mirage, was kind of in that mindset of capitalizing on a distracted enemy and was able to take it. I'm assuming that's probably what happened. He was just in that mindset, so that worked out well for him.
Yeah, good thoughts there. Yeah, definitely. If you all have any opinions on that, let us know. And let us know if you think Crazy did the wrong thing. But of course, if you did watch the video, you know he actually got the kill. So I don't think he did the wrong thing at all.
Yeah.
But why don't you take us? We actually didn't have any more regular sections after this. We actually went straight into the general store, where we talked about a couple of things. Why don't you take us into that first question in the general store, Sprawfox?
Okay, so this first question is, what is the best gun for hip fire? And there's a little snippet here by Crazy that says, everyone loves the heavy damage, and it's because the top two are, well, actually the top one, two, three, four in order are Prowler, Hemlock, Spitfire, Flatline.
It makes sense to me in every way. And I actually voted for the Spitfire because I love the Spitfire. Now, even though the Hipfire was nerfed, now I don't remember ever seeing the Prowler. And honestly, the reason I don't think about the Prowler is because it's a care package weapon. So I don't ever think of that now. Now, if you would have asked me 2 seasons ago which one, I probably would have said the Prowler, because honestly, the Prowler is the best.
It is.
Hands down. I even think it... The Hemlock is really, really good. really, really good. But I even think the Prowler's a little bit better than the Hemlock. I think the burst is kind of dialed in on the Prowler, whereas the Hemlock, it's kind of like the kick feels a little bit more to me, whereas the Hemlock's kind of like, to me, the Hemlock's kind of like run the dual Uzis in COD, and you're just like, and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
But I love the Spitfire, honestly. That's the gun I've probably got the most hipfire kills with because of the spread wasn't that bad before this last, like one of the last patches. But the damage is definitely there for the Spitfire compared to everything else. But the Hemlock's just as strong. So I don't know. Which one do you like?
I like the Prowler. I think in general for hipfire, it would go submachine guns and then shotguns. And then after that, it kind of gets more dispersed. And so, yeah, Prowler is good. Although, like you, I haven't really used the Prowler that much since it's in the care package. And whenever I see it in the care package, I'm kind of, I guess I could, or, you know, I'm kind of meh about it, which I guess I should be because it's still a great gun. But yeah, the shotguns also do pretty well. They were the next two choices in order. EVA 8 and Peacekeeper, and then R99 was next after that. And so apparently we love the heavy weapons hipfire. Yeah,
I like that. But you know, the one that I was very surprised not to see up here was the triple take. I feel like that thing with hipfire is now for me, it's kind of like the R99 on this list. Like if I think of hipfire, the best guns ever, I don't think of R99 unless I'm really, really close to someone. And I think the triple take is the same way because you're not powering it up to get the shot off. So I would almost put R99 and triple take in the same spot as far as hipfire because it's the hipfire on both of them is kind of like, I don't know, it's like a 50-50 kind of thing with me. Should I have hipfired? Should I have aimed on the sights? But I really love the triple take's hipfire, especially since it's basically like a freaking peacekeeper.
Yeah, and the triple take hipfire I think is also really well because I think the bullet velocity for snipers is pretty fast. And so unlike, you know, you think your regular shotguns, you know, versus a sniper, the shotgun's bullet velocity is a little slower, I think, or at least it feels that way to me. And the sniper's is faster. And so that when you're in close quarters with a shotgun, you need to lead. And with, you know, SMGs and stuff as well, you need to lead your shots a little, even though you're close quarter, but with the triple take, it is a lot snappier. You just don't have to lead as much.
Yeah. I was very happy that they didn't put the Mastiff up because it sucks on hipfire. But the EVA 8's so good. I actually used it the other day to get a kill in rig. We were just like, it was like literally down to like just me versus like three people. And I used the EVA 8 to take them all out. Literally just the EVA 8. That was it. It was awesome, bro. It was real dope. I mean, I felt really good afterward, and like it even got hype after, like the teammates got hype afterward, and the EVA 8 early game can break shields and just wipe people. It's so good. Now, like later on, you want a Mastiff, but with the double, if it had the double tap still, you know, that would even be better. But I should have paid more attention to the EVA 8 when the double tap was there. And I think I made a mistake by choosing the Mastiff over the EVA 8 in that situation. So let's go ahead and move on to the next block of questions. We had the YouTube question block. So if you don't know who Jay Miles is, Jay Miles is a YouTube Apex video YouTuber that makes these videos. That's like, he actually got popular. I was watching one of his videos today. He got popular off of his first video being named Why I Hate Apex. That was his like first video he ever put out. And basically now he's one of these guys that kind of, he went from being like negative all the time towards Respawn to now he's kind of back and forth on negative versus positive. And he actually gets messages now from people saying, bro, why are you siding with Apex? Why are you siding with Respawn? We love that you hated them. And that's because the reality is that everyone out there loves to hate on people. Right. And so like when people see Apex is losing, you know, people, when they see, you know, Imperial Howl just ripped on this developer, when they see all this, people get drawn into that because people are just, I mean, it's just bad. Like it's weird how people want to dislike a group of people so much whenever Respawn has done a really good job at handing us a good game. And every game has its faults. But we should, we should rejoice in the great things about it, and then make sure our issues are known with the problems. And Jay Miles is turning into that, which is why I started watching his videos a little bit. Fun videos. If you go follow him on Twitter, he actually, to get like so many subs, he does he's sponsored by some kind of energy drink. And to get the subs, he had to drink the energy drink through his nose. So go watch that. It's actually pretty dope. And the next one, the video that just dropped today, and it's about like the rank changes coming, and about hopefully the battle arena modes and things like that he covered. If he gets 5,000 subs, he's going to wax his legs on video. So go sub that, because I think that would be hilarious to watch. Do that. But what we did was we asked the same questions he asked, right? So he asked, you can only pick one. Which one? Gold mag, gold armor, gold knockdown, gold barrel, or digi threat. And basically his poll lined in with ours, where everybody said, most of the people said that they would pick up the gold armor. And I would have to agree. I think the gold armor being equivalent to the purple, and the speed of which you heal, makes it better than all of the others. Because like gold knockdown, you don't always get the chance to get a res off. Mm-hmm. Gold mag, sometimes you just forget it's there. You get lucky if it is there. And it only, I think, is great on certain guns like the Spitfire, like the R99, things like that. I don't really see it as, great on other guns. The gold barrel, it's kind of, to me, just like the purple barrel. And now where I was kind of like, the digi threat for me is huge. Like, digi threat for me can make or break a fight. I consider my gun game, if I get a digi threat, it's about 10% better than what it would be if I'm using iron sights or any other sight in the game. It's just better for me. So for me, I pick digi threat on this, just because for me, if I have a blue shield and a digi threat, I'm going to do better in a fight versus if I have a gold shield and no, iron sights. So, and in that moment, doing damage means more to me than taking, being able to take more damage, because hopefully, and that's also because of style I play, right? So I play aggressive with R99 Mastiff, whereas maybe if I played sniper, then the gold armor would matter to me, and the digital threat or the digital scope wouldn't matter as much. So, that's kind of like where I went on this one. Which one did you pick, and why did you pick it?
I picked the gold armor. I think one thing that I noticed was missing on it was a gold backpack. I wonder if that would have changed some people's votes, because between the two of them, I'm a little torn between which one I would like more. Although it would depend on what squad I'm on. If I'm in a squad with a Gibraltar or a Lifeline or a Mirage, then I would say they should get the gold backpack because they have, special revives. But I pick gold armor. I just love having it. Love how economic it is with the using the shield cells and the syringes, and you feel a lot more confident trading with someone, poking back and forth. That's what I picked.
Shield cells in a fight with a gold armor versus somebody with just normal purple, it's always better. You can push quicker on them and everything like that. You can definitely do some damage there. So the next one he asked was, you can bring back one. Which one? Cascades, Bridges, Skulltown, Thunderdome, or Old Slum Lakes? Anybody who voted for Old Slum Lakes just surprises me, because the new Spotted Lakes is like amazing.
Yes.
But overall, the two areas that got shown the most love were Skulltown and Thunderdome, with Skulltown coming on top in both polls. So, Spryfox, which one of these would you have picked, and why are they more appealing than the other?
I picked Skulltown for this one. I just have a lot of memories of dropping Skulltown on one of those four, it's like central with the four arms of buildings, and just dropping on one of the arms and then just coming in and just knowing that it's just going to be a whirlwind of bullets and people in the middle. And so that was just a lot of fun. And you knew there was going to be at least three, maybe four squads dropping there. There's going to be a lot of people dropping there. And so it was always hectic, always fun. Just finding out, and people, it's like go the arms and then everyone goes up top, or some people stay down low and it's just, what do you do and where do you go? It was a great little area. Loved it.
Yeah. It made Kings Canyon. And you know, if for me, to be honest with you, I would have liked to know, what do people think of Kings Canyon with or without Skulltown, like, and Thunderdome, right? Cause both of those areas were always hot. Didn't matter, you know, what game it was. And I always based my drop on Skulltown. And I wanted to always either rotate into Skulltown or rotate out of Skulltown. And to be honest with you, if Skulltown would have never made it in the map, I would have known the northern part of the map more. I never, ever dropped Artillery. I never dropped any of those places because Skulltown was like that place that I wanted to be at. So yeah. I'm in the same boat as you. To be honest with you, I liked Thunderdome better as a drop location because the cage fights just reminded me so much of like wrestling and like just dropping down from the cage and like then shooting. And then I always love fighting below the cages in that little circular area. The sad thing is right now is there's probably some people listening that don't even know what this is. Nope. And I feel really bad for you because the rotation from like Thunderdome to like airbase, rotation from like Thunderdome to water treatment to Skulltown, then Skulltown, man, so many hills, so many bones in the way. It was such a beautiful area. And I hate that people don't get to play it. And I'm hoping that they bring a classic mode sometime soon to let us go back to these classic places because they are missed. And Bridges, Bridges was a wonderful place. Great place to play at. Every one of these places was great except for Old Slum Lakes.
So. Yeah, the thing about Bridges, I remember, is Bridges, the fighting always started up top, but it always ended up in that building down low in the river. It just like water, it just drained. Everyone was fighting and everyone eventually went down to that building down there to slug it out.
Every time, man, Bridges was so good. So good. And there's still areas like Bridges in the map. So you still get to play those kind of areas like the zip line going from when you go out of market and you can go up to the zip line going to up to the cage. That's kind of like a resemblance of Bridges, except for it's a zip line instead of a bridge. You always end up fighting down low on that one as well, especially when there was the vaults underground that you always end up finding down there. All right. Well, the next question on his quiz was, what's the most kills you've ever had? And they limited it to a standard duos and trios game or ranked. And there was no map changes and restricted LTMs. The most amount of kills that people put was 10 to 14 kills. And I'm actually in that same range. So I think the most kills I've ever got in a game was 12. And that was like season like 6 or something like that. And I haven't been able to get any more. I'm not one of those 20K or 20 bomb people. I don't strive for that in a game. I'm not one of those people that like to brag about kills. I'd rather brag about teamwork. And I think that's what matters the most to me. So which one did you fall into, Spry Fox?
I think the most kills I've gotten in a game is 15, I want to say.
Dang,
although it doesn't really happen all that much. I mean, I've, you know, it's not uncommon to break double digits, but yeah, I think 15 was the highest if I remember right. I don't really remember exactly who I was or what I was doing. This was pretty early. So maybe I was playing back when I was playing Mirage or Caustic, but yeah, 15. And I would love to get a 20 bomb, although you have to get a 20 bomb. Yeah. And you've got to be like, all the time, like you hear gunshots, you don't even think, you just go towards it and you just try, you know, it's a race.
For Octane, Pathfinder, people like that you can push and your whole team has to be a part of it. Right. So they have to call out like, hey, I've got this guy low. Make sure you focus him. And you kind of have to be the guy to focus him. That's the kind of like, if you go look at any YouTuber that's dropped 20 bombs on anything, that's how they go. It's not like, oh, I drop into a game and I'm just dominant, right? It's not like that. It's like your teammates see that you're close to 20. Like most of the time you'll get like 15 and they're like, oh, I want to push for this. And there's like, you know, 8 teams left or whatever. They'll help you get there. But I would rather see a high damage game between all my different teammates with a like 20 plus kill game where all of our kills combined make up 20 plus. That's what I would rather see than see myself come out on top with 20 kills. Would it be nice? Of course, but just not what I care about. So, yeah. And with that, we actually had the next question, which what was the most damage you've ever done? And the majority of people said 2,000 to 3,000 damage. And I've actually, I think the most I've ever done was like 2700. I'm thinking I'm better than I am. 2700, I think, is the best I've ever done. Spry Fox, what is the best you've ever done and who was it with?
Well, the most damage I've ever done was in the round of 3300 range. I think it was lower than that. I think it was 32 something. But I was playing as Watson, and this was, there was a challenge to, I forgot what it was. It was, oh, I remember now. It was back with the airdrop escalation takeover. Okay. And it was, you had to do so much damage with care package weapons. And I dropped on one by myself, and I got a charge rifle, and I was like, hey, and the teammates quit. One teammate quit like before we even came in, and then as we were dropping, the other teammate quit. And so I was by myself, and I got the charge rifle, and I was like, okay, playing as Watson with the charge rifle, I just got to keep my distance, annoy the crap out of people, and if they come to me, get out of there. And there were so many during that game. There must have been, it happened two, maybe three times of I'm shooting a team, I'm getting damage, they're coming towards me, I back out, and another team just so happens to engage that team. And so I'm like pinging the both of those teams. And then we go to ring. We have to rotate to ring. And then it happens again. I'm pinging them. They start to come towards me, and another team comes in and fights them. It's like I was like this maestro just you know, conducting all the squads. You fight each other, and you come in here and fight this one. And the whole time I'm just doing damage. And so I ended up going to second place, and I must have just been... As I was doing damage, I was like, man, I don't know how much damage, because this is back before the damage counter. And I was like, I don't know how much damage I'm doing, but it's got to be a lot. And I was like, people probably just want my head because I was being so annoying with the charge rifle.
Yeah, I was actually, so we put in our notes sometimes these little blurbs where we, you know, can remember what we're going to say. And I'm not going to lie, when I saw charge rifle and I knew this was your note, I was really disappointed. But now that you say... that you were by yourself, I will accept your play because the charge rifle is one of the guns that in Titanfall is satisfying to get a kill with because it's like, boop, and that's like, it takes a second to reload. Whereas the charge rifle in Apex is one of the most annoying guns to ever make its way into the game. Hands down, no matter who you are, don't argue with me. Terrible, terrible gun to have in the game. But if they would make it more like its Titanfall version, I'd be okay with it because it's a lot hard. It's a heck of a lot harder. But the movement, I feel like in Titanfall is a little bit faster as well, so it's harder to hit, even if it was the same. So, but congratulations on your 3K damage badge there. I'll probably never make it there, but hopefully maybe one day. And just to let you all know that on this poll, there was 28,000 votes. Now, we're not as popular as this guy, but let's strive to be as popular as this guy. Let's see 28,000 votes on our Dropping Spicy. I just want to see the message from Crazy. If we were to even get 1,000, he's like, all right, Gio and Spratbox, I was going to make notes, but it actually took me 12 hours to read through it all. So it would be awesome.
Is that your Crazy impression right there?
Well, I don't know what my Crazy impression would be. Most of the time when me and Crazy talk, it's about like our kids and stuff. So my Crazy impression would probably be like, if X equals Y, then Y equals X. And this data point comes from this point and that point. Yeah.
Man, is Crazy here? It's just you, Gio. Dude, man. For a second there, that was so good. I thought it was the real Crazy.
I'm sorry, bro. It's I'm just that good with data. So man, that is how Crazy is. If you ever talk to Crazy, he'll like, in, even in the middle of a match, you'll be like, well, my damage is this and my kills are this. So that must mean that I'm doing this much damage per minute. And this is, and like, I'm like, crazy.
He's what, a calm what you, guy. He's
what
calm.
What are you talking about? Like, and he'll be like, yeah, we could have done better with this damage. Whatever. I feel like that's how he would, how he is. So no, he's not really like that much.
He's but a cool
he sometimes does talk about stats more than the normal Apex player. So we actually had some questions from the Gaming Merchant, which is another YouTuber. If you don't know who that is, he has like a, I think he's like a British voice kind of person.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Gaming Merchant. Yeah,
really good guy. He actually looks much different than how he sounds. So if you've watched his videos, but you never saw how he looks, go watch how he looks. He actually looks really different. So when I saw him like, and he talked like that, I was like, man, like. Like Spry Fox over here sounds like Fred Flintstone and looks like Fred Flintstone, whereas the Gaming Merchant looks like a super nerd, but then his voice is like, I guess his voice is kind of nerdy, but it sounds good. It's like a, you know, really good voice. So why don't you take us into those questions real quick, Spry Fox?
Okay, so first question is, the devs are considering adding the locked and loaded LTM into standard Apex Legends. Should it come back as a permanent feature? Most of you said yes. And on our poll, and most of the YouTube poll said yes, but without the Mozambique.
Amen.
I don't know why. I'd rather have a Mozambique than nothing. I mean, at least you could do something with it.
I love the white shield. Starting out with the white shield and not. Oh, sorry. I can't. The coffee's getting to me, Spry Fox.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have drank it all, but it's all gone. but the white shields add really good, make the loot a lot better because you don't find all these white shields everywhere. You can replace it. But the Mozambiques, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, well, they're there. But like I said before in our past podcast is I would like to choose between the Mozambique and the P2020 because I like the P2020 better. So as long as there was a variation of what we could choose or whatever we could choose, then I would be okay with it. But I really didn't care for the Mozambique by itself.
Yeah, I just chose yes, that I would like it. And I think this would allow this kind of evens out the RNG, because right now, say like player A and player B land next to each other and player A is better than player B, but player B gets the gun. They're both on the Spitfire. Player B is the only one who actually picks it up. I mean, what can player A do? I mean, even though player A is better, since player B got, you know, lucky and mash his button faster or whatever, and he wins, it's not a reflection of their skill, though. But if they both landed with guns, then it would allow people with skill to, you know, to shine, since everything else is equal equipment wise you know, it just comes down to how good your aim is, you know, how good you are. And so
I'm cool with it as long as you take Mozambiques out of ground loot completely, and the only Mozambiques you can pick up are the ones dropped by people. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with that because that does help RNG. And also, if you do same with P2020, you give them P2020. That's the only P2020s you can pick up, right? You can then take out the whatever the hop up was for it. Just go ahead and take it out, and then you can take up Mozambiques, and you can now. Well, I guess you could leave the hop up in, but you just leave the P2020 Mozambique off the ground. You leave the white shields off the ground. You go ahead and give them a white helmet. Leave the white helmets off the ground. That's four items right there you've eliminated from your pool. I think that's good. Like, that's what we need, because nobody really likes picking up a P2020. It's okay. But even in an early fight, I could punch someone to death before someone can actually hit me with a P2020. But if I started with it, I'm not going to be mad. So I don't know. I think that would be a good way to balance it and make sure that and say, okay, well, then that's fine. Mozambiques are just not that great. You can just pick it up if somebody else drops it, but the hop up's still out there for you to pick up. You know, I'd be cool with that. Yeah. But that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Daniel Klein, the senior game developer for Respawn, he commented on this and said that he kind of likes it, but he's worried about shortening the loot loop. And that's kind of an interesting phrase, because when I think of a loop, I think of something recurring again, but it might be the developer in me, but it's a loop is something that occurs again and runs again and again, instead of having to write tons of code. You can just write a loop and a loop.
Yep.
So I don't know why you'd return back to white, you know, go to purple and then return. That's just me, but I see what he's saying, how if you started with all the white gear then you're getting up to the higher tier gear that much faster. And so your kind of incentive to loot is stopped sooner. You know, it comes to a kind of a plateau where you're like, I've got everything. Like, the only thing that could improve my gear is gold or red level stuff.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that leads to better and more interesting fights. And like, you know, like, I don't know. I just don't think that's a bad thing. As far as like ALGS and all that, that's not a bad thing at all. That's good because they want fights more and less looting. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, I like it.
I don't know.
What's the next question?
So next question is, which Apex Legends game mode would you like to see return? And the options were solos, third person mode,
yuck,
King's Canyon Season 1 map,
yes,
and the Broken Ghost PvE quest. PvE, player versus environment, or, you know, you're just fighting the, and this quest was, you're just fighting those Shadow Prowlers and getting the stuff. Most, for our poll, everyone said King's Canyon Season 1 map.
Yeah, boy.
Not everyone. That was the majority. And for the YouTube poll, the majority was solos.
I'm cool with that.
Literally,
before we started this podcast, I was playing the game. Dropbox was listening to me.
Yes,
and these guys was just like, we're going to push into the heat shield because we don't care. And I was like, dude, there's four teams left. We're on a hill. We're like, okay, Spotted Lake's down below. We're up in their crash ship. Circle's in our realm, right? And the heat shield's down the hill. Why in the world would you ever push somebody in the heat shield on Spotted Lakes when you're high ground in crash site? It makes no sense. If I was playing solos, I would have made that decision myself and not had to worry about those jerks. But you can't put solos on the same questionnaire as King's Canyon Season 1 map. You can't do that. It's like breaking a homie's heart here. So
yeah.
I picked Season 1 strictly because what we talked about earlier with Skulltown. That's it.
Yeah. Skulltown. Yeah, I picked King's Canyon Season 1 map as well. Solos was novel and kind of fun while it lasted, but you know that solos, you're excluding some of the legends. Some legends just work better as a team. I mean, they all have aspects that work well as a team, but solos, I mean, you're excluding some that have a lot of synergy. And so if they did bring back solos, you know that there'd be some legends that would hardly, if ever, get played on that mode. Mm-hmm. And third person mode, I know some buddies who would love that, who would have loved third person mode. I was kind of, man, it was weird. I kind of didn't like that even though I was like, because you can peek with your third person, you know, you could like look around corners and not expose yourself, you know, and be able to see still. And I mean, but since everyone could do it, it was even, I guess, but I just thought it was kind of weird. The Broken Ghost, I liked that it was
okay.
The story with it, you know, I liked that it was kind of, and it was fun because it was kind of a mode that you knew, you went into it knowing that, hey, you know, you're not going to get sweaty, you know, you're not going to meet someone, you know, make players who are just going to dominate you. You just go in and play and shoot and kind of just have fun. It was kind of a fun little thing, I thought. I wouldn't mind if they brought back quests that were similar to it, but the trade-off was I think I'd rather have the comics that we have now just because of the art, you know, I think is cool, rather than, because that, with that season, you did the quest and you got a comic, you got a story, but it wasn't as much art. It was just a back and forth discussion kind of a thing. You're reading text, but either way, more story. I'm all for that.
I'm cool with third person mode. If they bring back the Naruto run and give the Naruto run to every character, only then will I be okay with third person mode. Let's go, bro. Jiraiya's the boy. Jiraiya's my man. So if you don't watch Naruto and you want to make fun of me, you don't deserve to listen to this. So you should just quit now. So
Jiraiya was pretty cool, but Kakashi, man, you can't get any cooler, dude, than Kakashi.
Well, Asuma and Kakashi. We don't need to talk about it. We can go on. and to be honest with you, the new Boruto that's came out, the new, you know, Naruto's son, There's actually some characters on there that are better than some of the characters back in the old days. And it's
bad. Dude, I haven't seen Naruto. I'm still at the tail end of Naruto. Oh, almost no, finished.
You need
today.
To get there because you need to get there, brother. Actually, this okay. conversation with a friend yesterday, you need to get there. What is the last question on the Game Merchants poll?
Okay, so it is cost. It's the last question is Caustic's Town Takeover is replacing the entirety of water treatment next patch. Which is this patch. It made me wonder, which is your favorite Kings Canyon town takeover so far? And so the options are Crypto's Map Room, Octane's Gauntlet, Wraith's Lab, which is Sing's Lab, and the Mirage Voyage. Sadly, not anymore, but
it's okay.
At this time, at the that's, time of the poll.
It's a good thing.
Majority of our people that took the poll internally said Octane's Gauntlet. And it's the same for the YouTube poll. So both polls, ours and theirs, both said Octane's Gauntlet yes. was their favorite.
It's fun. It's majority. A fun area to do. Our boy Alex Grainer did a great job designing it. X Games base. Let's you go, betcha. Boy. Now, mm-hmm. in the Mirage Voyage, it needs to go back where it was at on World's Edge. Just put it there. Leave it there. Ah. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think they've got enough feedback now. That's where it's going. I do not see it going to Olympus. It doesn't make any sense to me. Put it back on World's Edge and give that place some more love. The rocket's gone. You should have enough memory to place it in there. Just go ahead and do it. Crypto's Map Room, actually, it was hard voting, not voting for Crypto's Map Room. I think Crypto's Map Room is a fun area as far as, you know, low ground, middle ground, and high ground to fight in. And then, like, there's always it's always a challenge knowing people from Repulsor are going to push you. And mm-hmm. just rotating out of it's a challenge. So I like Crypto's Map Room because it's a challenge, whereas Octane's is just fun and Wraith is just frustrating. Doesn't matter what fight you get in, whether you're inside, like there's always like that horrible chance that someone's going to get the grenade, the thermite before you hit the door, your whole team's going to go down. And then when you're outside, it's third party every day, all day. Just mm-hmm. doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can, there would be a team all the way at, you know, at Skulltown whenever, if Skulltown was still on there, and they'd be able to make their way there somehow. Mm. And you just be like, where'd this team even come from? And then you realize, well, race is, it's just kind of a focal point in the map. Everybody sees the little phase runner thing or whatever it is, the portal. And it's like, you're automatically drawn to that. As like somebody's landed there, and automatically mm-hmm. anybody who lands at Cage most of the time pushes into Race Labs because they always know there's going to be somebody there. And it's also a really good avenue to get into Capacitor. So it's because it's not bad. It's not a bad, there's that choke mm-hmm. into Capacitor is not horrible, but because the open area of Capacitor allows people to be spread out. So they don't really focus on that choke. It's kind of like it's okay. It's there. Kind of thing. So mm-hmm. yeah. I'm an Octane's guy. I mean, why not? Just jump around, shoot people, jump through a hoop of fire. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I've noticed that it is hard ever since the changes to Octane's jump pad, it is a little bit harder to get that loot in the middle. If you're like crouching mm-hmm. and you hit that jump pad, I think you just go so fast, your window to snatch that is that much smaller. You can't, it's like you have to take the jump pad standing up and then just slow it down and then like take your time and probably take some of that fire damage. But
yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. And Sing Labs, it is pandemonium in there. Were you, did you ever drop into Sing Labs when it was very first introduced?
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever it was like 50 Dude. Million people dropping in at the same time. Yeah. I remember the first day. It was.
Yeah. Me too.
It was stupid how many people dropped
everybody,
in.
Everybody dropped in and it was just chaos. You come out of there and there's so many people. People are meleeing. You got caustics mm-hmm. throwing traps. It was just crazy in there.
It was good. It was good. But what they did now with Capacitor and the exit out that way, it's a really good transition on the map. Really good place to rotate out of. Not a horrible mm-hmm. place. It's just frustrating. It can get really frustrating to do yeah. that. So let's go into our last section of the podcast called Clips from the Community. And by the way, the Gaming Merchants got over 150,000 votes on each one of his questions. Yeah. So let's step up our game community. We just need to be Dude, the we just need to
good on him. The Gaming action. Merchant, he's killing it. I love that guy. He's so cool, and he's just yeah. so like he's good, and he's a Rampart main. That's mm-hmm. another reason why I like him. But okay. he just
he's just so polite and just, you know, he'll die or he'll something terrible will happen. And he'll just, oh dear, you know, and he'll,
you know, him and Crazy remind me a lot of each other. And now that Crazy is a Rampart main, I bet it's because Gaming Marchant was a Rampart main more than you were a Rampart main. Because I feel like Gaming Marchant.
Crazy?
I feel like Crazy. Yeah, I think Crazy's now a Rampart main from last episode. So, like, I think that him and Gaming Marchant and you could just, like, hang out and drink some coffee. And I think that'd be awesome to record and hear that conversation. Because you all seem alike. I don't know. Just me. But let's go ahead and move to the Clips community. Great. Gaming Marchant, J Miles, check him out on YouTube. Shout out to you guys. You do great work. This is our section where we take questions from the community and we answer them. So Drewski asked us, what is the most irritating bug that was ever in Apex? For me, the one mode that I really like, my favorite mode, is the Winter Express mode, right? You wouldn't think of this like most irritating bug, but my most irritating bug was actually this last Winter Express mode whenever you could be like transitioning from the cart to cart and it would just kill you automatically. That was frustrating because in the Winter Express mode, that was one of those modes where kills matter to me. And I tried to get 20 kills. That was going to be my time to shine. And because of those bugs happening so frequently, it actually did ruin it a lot for me. And I think it wasn't because they existed. It was because Apex took so long to fix them that it ruined it for me. Right. So for me, it has to be the Winter Express bugs that kind of ruined that for me, because it's the holidays. You're supposed to be cheerful, happy. But then when you get into your favorite game and the mode that you like is there and it's broken because of some bugs, it kind of ruins your holiday feeling. Right. So, you know, it doesn't really, you know, I was expecting to jump in, see Mirage all cheery and stuff. And be like, yeah, Mirage, dude, this is Christmas Mirage. Yeah. And then it was like, you know, this kind of sucks because I can't even play it. Right. It's broken. What was your most irritating bug there, Spryfox?
So, I kind of had two, I can think of a third one now too that was pretty irritating. I'll try to go in chronological order. First one was, my first main was Mirage, and I'm counting his ulti way back then as a bug that you could still see him even though he was invisible. Man, it was just, I mean, if you were like, it's skirting around a fight on the kind of far away and they weren't really paying attention, you know, you could reposition, okay. But you could still see him, and it was just annoying knowing that, like, I'm supposed to be invisible here. And so there's that. There was also the one, I forgot whose voice line it was, but there was someone who their voice line played globally. And so you'd just be walking around, and all of a sudden you hear this, I think it was a Rampart
voice line. Yeah.
I don't remember, but it was a voice line that played globally, and everyone would do it. And that was kind of annoying. But one that I remember seeing that was annoying, I don't know if you guys remember, was the Wraith, like super fast, portal.
I remember that.
So she could go into the void, and then when she comes back out, go right back in. And so she was just constantly into the void. So you couldn't shoot her. You could see where she is, but she would be back out of the void for like a half a second before going back under. And so you couldn't, there's nothing you could do. That got annoying. But I did teach one Wraith her lesson because I was playing as Revenant, and she was coming around is by thermal station. It was by, is that thermal station? Yeah. And she was coming around a piece of cover, and I threw a
silence grenade or whatever.
Silence, and I timed it perfect. So just the silence was there, just at the spot where she came out and she was silenced, and we just mowed her down. Nice. And it was ruthless. I teabagged and I was shooting her dead body and everything just because exploiting that bug.
Anytime you can shut down somebody coming out of Wraith Portal, it always feels good, no matter what character it is. Yeah. It feels great. But we actually had a question from our boy Feral Floss, who shows up quite a bit on the show. He basically asked, Spryfox, I'll let you take this one.
Okay, so he says, I love Respawn's character diversity. What nationality would you like to see in a future character? I'm thinking we need a Japanese character, but also maybe one with an African heritage. Just to make me laugh, a southern U.S. full-on redneck. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of fun. So the nationalities I would like to see is, I think first place would be African. I'd want to see some cool, like, you know, straight, like, from the heart, you know, from the Congo jungles, just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I think that'd be cool. I'd also like to see Russian or German. We could use one of those. I'm counting Bloodhound as Scandinavian. And before the show, we were talking about this, and Gio actually had a pretty good idea of a nationality. Which one would you like to see?
I would actually like to see Egyptian. And this sprung from, if you've ever watched it, you can go to Wikipedia. I have no idea what Wikipedia is. But look up The Mummy, the movie, or the movie, The Mummy, the what? The movie, The Mummy. Sorry, it's been a long week of meetings for me at work. The movie, The Mummy, where you have Brendan Fraser and Rick O'Connell and forget what was her name? She's so beautiful. One of the girl from that movie is just a beautiful. Really like watching her act. But they have a character in there called Imhotep. I think that's, if you go and look up all that stuff, it's probably somebody very popular, but he has like multiple like moves throughout the show as far as like controlling people, but you know, plagues, his mouth opens huge. He can like, he comes out of the sand with his mouth huge. He like does stuff with beetles and scorpions and stuff like that. And so like to have a character that can maybe like bring undead people or like, you know, send in a swarm to chase somebody and do damage, or, you know, any kind of like Anubis feeling kind of thing, you know, like
that would be cool.
It would be so dope to see someone like that in the game. We kind of get that with Revenant kind of. I feel like Revenant kind of like
his skin,
his totem and his skin kind of remind me something of like, you know, that. So that's might be why I play him a lot, but I think it would be really cool. And then you could do like the whole like really long beard thing that they do with them with like the like the skinny hat and stuff. And then of course, you know, Wraith could then get like a you know, one of those girl skins for like a hot Egyptian girl. And then everybody
Cleopatra skin.
Yeah, Cleopatra. Yeah. She could get like, and then you could be like me, and then you Rev and you could play on the same team. You're like, yeah, girl, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, what's up?
The Egyptian duo. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I think Egyptian would be cool. Or like a Bedouin type of character. That'd be cool to have a Bedouin.
Yeah, but dude, anything.
I was also thinking about character styles, like Japanese would be cool if they were like samurai.
Oh yeah,
I would totally dig that if they had a sword used for their tactical or ultimate or something. Man, that'd be cool,
dude. Anything with samurai cool. is always cool. Like that was if we ever go back to talking about Naruto again, the samurai were always a group of people in that show too. And any movie about samurai, you automatically get drawn into, because it's like the way of the samurai is so interesting in every aspect.
Yeah.
And to have that as a character, like the respect samurai show, even to like people they kill, right? It's pretty dope. Like I could see like a finisher for a samurai guy, like stabs them and then like closes their eyelids or something and like shows respect, something cool like that, that they could do.
Bows to them. Yeah.
So, and I mean, we already have some kind of samurai typish skins. I think Bloodhound kind of has a samurai typish skins and things like that. So really, really cool. You could do a lot of things in games. You just have to be careful how you do them. And of course the whole thing with like an ethnicities, nationalities and race and all that, you have to make sure that you don't offend somebody. So games really have to be careful in what they do. And so that might be why we don't see a bunch of different, well, we do, in Apex, we actually do see a lot of nationalities representatives. So, you know, it's just making sure you do it the right way. And every game has to think about that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we asked then, you know, have any feedback? We gotta love it. Keep up the great work. We got a good pod. Someone thinks that Savage Samurai is a real cutie pie. So Savage, if you're out there, I'm hoping this wasn't you that put that. I'm going to maybe guess it was, but if it's not, you need to kind of watch out there for yourself, buddy. You know, make sure you're not streaming with anything in the background that might deliver your location. Cause somebody's after you.
You might get a stalker.
Then we asked, though, can't wait to hear you boys try and copy the voice lines. And apparently we need to tell Kinder that's how you do fan engagement. That is not from any of us. I don't even know who that's from because these are all anonymous, but Kinder, if you're listening, then this person says you'll know what they're talking about. So part of me wants to think copy it's Whiskey Sticks voice. Talking to Kinder, but I don't know. We'll see. If Kinder, go ahead and tell us who you think this is, I guess, in the Discord chat. Yeah. And then the last one is simply y'all rock. And we automatically know we do. We are the Jack Black of dropping spicy mash those buttons. That is who we are. This is the school of rock. So
the school of rock.
Yes. Rock on.
Love that movie.
Yeah. So I'm going to start doing like TikToks and thongs and stuff like Jack Black does. I'm going to do the WAP and the thong, and then it's going to be viral, right? So coming soon to our Dropping Spicy TikTok is Gio doing the WAP in a thong, because that's what Jack Black does, right?
Yeah.
And then Spry Fox will be in the background spraying me with a water hose. Be dope, right? Mm-hmm. So
wetting it down.
You know, just coming. There's your fan engagement that you want to see right there. Right there for you. But with that, let's go ahead and close out the show.
Doing the character voice lines the whole time. Yeah,
now that we've put this ugly image in your brain of Gio shirtless and a thong, we will close out the show and leave your thoughts at that and not talk about Apex again. We'd like to thank you all for joining us and thank you for your input and the time that you spent on our polls. And we ask that you continue to share those polls through social media, Discord, or any other way you'd like. You can find Dropping Spicy on Twitter at Dropping Spicy and the Mash Those Buttons Network at the Mash Network on Twitter. Make sure you go and follow both of those right now. Not only that, but make sure you go to the Dropping Spicy live stream every Tuesday at twitch.tv/MashThoseButtons and follow them and get a notification every time they come live. And then also make sure to subscribe on Twitch as well. Spryfox, where can they find you at?
So you can find my gamer tag on Xbox is Spry Fox. That's one word, capital S, capital F. You can find me on Discord at Spry Fox number 9056. And you can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Spry Fox 1. So that's Spry Fox the number 1. And that's it.
There you go. And then for me, literally just get a Discord and message me at Geo number 4574. Literally. Probably the best way to reach me. That's the most thing I monitor. I actually monitor Discord more than I monitor Facebook most of the time. So hit me up there. And if you want to play, it's Mash_Geo, all capital M-A-S-H. We can get some games. I don't play as much as I used to. I'm getting better at it, getting, you know, figuring out time and stuff like that. But life is hitting us. So, you know, we can definitely get some games in. You can join us at the Mash Those Buttons community on Discord. Again, at mash.gg/Discord, where you can send us your Apex feedback and stories and questions, and we will answer them and have them featured on the show. Make sure you drop us your questions if you'd like for us to answer them on the show. Share in the show with others and rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Not only that, but you need to go to mashthosebuttons.com website and listen to the show directly in there, where you will find a Ready Room page, and we are right there along right beside the Dropping Spicy page. You can show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where we have tiers and content available for as little as $1 a month and extra spicy content put on by our boy Kura for $5 a month. You can also buy stuff that says Mash on it and other things at the Teespring Sports store at teespring.com/stores/mashthosebuttons. And we would like for you to please stay tuned after the show to hear about other shows on our network. Not only that, but make sure you go to mashthosebuttons.com and see what other shows we have to offer. With that, we are calling it a night, boys and girls. Mm-hmm. Stay spicy.
Yep. Have a good one.
A lot of coffee.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.